would organize delegations to the British Foreign Office. He would mobilize everyone from Booker T. Washington to Anatole France to the Archbishop of Canterbury to join his cause. More than 200 mass meetings to protest slave labor in the Congo would be held across the United States. A larger number of gatherings in England, nearly 300 a year at the Crusades' peak, would draw as many as 5,000 people at a time. In London, one letter of protest to the Times on the Congo would be signed by 11 peers, 19 bishops, 76 members of Parliament, the presidents of 7 chambers of commerce, 13 editors of major newspapers, and every Lord Mayor in the country. Speeches about the horrors of King Leopold's Congo would be given as far away as Australia. In Italy, two men would fight a duel over the issue. British Foreign Secretary Sir Edward Grey, a man not given to overstatement, would declare that no external question for at least 30 years has moved the country so strongly and so vehemently. This is the story of that movement, of the savage crime that was its target, of the long period of exploration and conquest that preceded it, and of the way the world has forgotten one of the great mass killings of recent history. I knew almost nothing about the history of the Congo until a few years ago, when I noticed a footnote in a book I happened to be reading. Often, when you come across something particularly striking, you remember just where you were when you read it. On this occasion, I was sitting, stiff and tired,